This episode of Two Beers Till Takeoff is sponsored by No Days Wasted, a leader in the hangover supplement industry. Listeners can now get 15% off their next purchase by using promo code 2BEERS, that's 2BEERS, BEERS in capital, at checkout. Live life or your next trip to the maximum with No Days Wasted.
Hello and welcome to 2BS Till Takeoff, the podcast inspired by conversations overheard at the airport bar. Join Phil as he grabs a couple of beers and chats with interesting people from around the world, sharing expert knowledge and hilarious stories that you won't find in your guidebook. So pull up a stool and get ready for an adventure as we explore worlds of travel and beyond with 2BS Till Takeoff.
4 hours in a Taliban headquarters.
I had dog meat in Laos.
Was it golden retriever?
Smack a dirty old smooch on our beautiful fish right here.
He didn't die, but he fell down the side of the mountain.
Hello and welcome to Two Beers Till Takeoff. My name is Phil, and today I got that boy coming on. Not just any boy, but the man who is uncancelable, coming on to destroy all social justice warriors one by one. What is going on, boy SEAL?
They can't get me, dog. They'll never get me. No matter how much they type, no matter how much they bitch, complain, and moan, I'm still going to be standing, jumping to the other side of the world. You know how it is.
Dude, it's been a minute, man. I've been following you on social, and it seemed like, I think when you first came on, I think you had like quite a bit of a YouTube presence, but your Instagram like blew, like, dude, congrats.
Thank you.
You blew up in terms of like, I recognize that, you know, you're doing, according to the masses, you're doing great. And another thing that I noticed though is that, dude, I think we should maybe speak about the social justice warriors, because holy shit, you get a lot of views, but you get a lot of hate too, dude. How do you deal with that?
How do I deal with the hate? Dude, haters are always a great sign that you're doing something right, because no matter what you do, you can find a person who is using their platform for good, which there's people out there who are feeding people, housing people, whatnot. And you'll find people who want to just flip the script and be like, well, that's exploitation for your views. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's still net good. And what have you done at the end of the day? You can make a case out of anything. But at the end of the day, like most people don't really care what you're doing. But the people who do are most likely either projecting their own issues. And if they're not projecting, they're just feeding their ego, and they just want to feel virtuous because they're just part of this like new woke SJW culture. And not to say that like I'm super red pilled, I'm like not red pilled at all, I'm pretty progressive, but I think there's a point where progression goes overboard, and when you address so many issues that don't need to be addressed, because like if you take a video where it's like, we're all getting along in harmony, I'm interacting with these local people and it's all good, and then you make an issue out of that, well, you're actually kind of working things backwards by taking this scene that was all good and well, my interaction with someone, and then making an issue of it. So I think these SG dubs, they, at least from what I've seen, have took it a little overboard and just find a way to virtue signal or whatnot. And the way I deal with it is, I don't even think I deal with it. I just love it. I just love
it. It pushes me further.
It does, dude. I just love this stupidity on display. I love going to war with them. I think a lot of people get it twisted because I'll put some comments, like some really stupid comments on my story, and people are like, bro, don't worry about the haters. I'm like, I'm not worrying. Like, I'm getting quenched by their tears. Like, I'm staying hydrated on their tears. You know, like when Cartman, like he makes Scott Tenorman eat his parents, and then Scott Tenorman's crying, and then Cartman's like licking at his face, like eating his tears. That's what I'm doing.
That's ultimately what you're doing, dude. So congrats to you. One thing I'll say about social justice warriors that really pisses me off, and like you, dude, I consider myself a progressive person. I feel like we were in the content game to, you know, explore different cultures and learn about travel and different people and stuff like that. And I find that like what they don't realize, these social justice warriors, you know, they're ultimately the ones that think that they're the virtuous ones and that they know better than everyone. Mm-hmm. But I think that if you keep saying that everyone's racist and sexist, you're actually diluting what racism and sexism are. Mm-hmm. If everyone is the bad thing, every white guy's doing this, like it's just, you're diluting the actual bad guys. Yeah. So fucking please stop. Just enjoy yourselves. At the end of the day, these people want to be you at the end of the camera. They want to have the guts to be doing the type of travel that we're doing. And listen, dude, it's just some sad people. But hey, we'll survive.
No, I totally agree with you. You nailed it on the head there.
Yeah. Listen, we were talking about this before we pressed record, and I kind of wanted to get back to it. Not necessarily a transition in the podcast, but something that came across the other day. I was talking to my fiance, and she was like, you know what? I don't actually listen to your podcast.
I can relate, because I definitely have homies that like are watching what I'm putting out, and you honestly like can't blame them, you know, if like they're not up to date. At the end of the day, you are content, and there's so much content on the internet now that it's just like you're not gonna enjoy everything. Like I don't even consume travel content anymore, and I feel bad. Like probably like the only people I watch are like maybe Connor and my homie Timmy. Like I'll probably skip out on like Bald's videos or like a lot of people's videos, but for me it's like I'm not even watching travel content. I'm not consuming that too much. So I wouldn't take offense to it, but I get it, because it's like you want to feel supported.
No. Like I think it was like, it was just a matter of fact thing. Like I just didn't know. But the reason she said that was because she was like, sometimes I feel like you're into interview mode and you're not actually yourself.
Mm, I totally get that.
So I came across a podcast that I find is a bit more my style. It's Matt and Shane's secret podcast, Shane Gillis and Matt McCuskey. And that's what I kind of want to do today. Not interview style. I want to just be like two boys sitting on the couch and just drinking beer and just chilling.
Yeah, I think that is a great idea, because, dude, I've noticed like you are a very good converser. Like, you know what's funny is like whenever you want to address something, you call me and it's just not like, hey, man, like this is what's up. You're like, how you doing, bro? And we like talk. And usually it's like you're up way earlier than me. And like I'm just in bed at like 9 a.m. and I'm like half asleep like talking to you on the phone and you're just like going on. I'm like, shit, I didn't expect this to turn into a conversation. But that's what you're good at. You're like organically social, and I like notice like your podcast does have like a structure to it, which I think the structure is dope, but at the same time, like you can freeball it, dog.
I think at this point in the podcast game, like I think to start, I almost felt like I needed a structure. I needed to be, because I mean at the end of the day, when you're doing a podcast, what's the thing you're scared of? Dead air.
Yeah,
right? Running out of shit to say. Be like, what do we do now? But I mean, like, I feel like that muscle's been exercised so many times now that, you know, I kind of want to have like not the dressed up interview with you. I want to just kind of talk travel. I want to just talk about whatever, you know.
I'm keen.
Yeah. So listen, let's actually do that. You last left us when Small Brain American, aka Connor McBee, tried to cancel you, and you did flawlessly. I thought it was probably an Oscar moment almost.
That's what I said. So they can't come for me, no matter who it is.
They can't fucking do it. But
even Connor, Connor canceled a whole nation. Connor canceled a whole fucking nation, the biggest nation in the world. Yet he couldn't cancel me.
So yeah, dude. So where have you been recently? Like where were you at recently?
Oh my,
what are the travels,
dude?
Let's fill me in.
I don't even know if you know, but the last place I was in Brazil, and I went for 3 days, and I got robbed.
You got those eyebrows fucking waxed, eh?
Yeah, dude. No, they were looking fresh. I quite liked, like, dude, I had this full Brazil look going on. And I still kind of do, but like everyone in the favelas like rocks this like blonde hair and they do their eyebrows. Pretty crazy, like they live in the slums, and yet whenever it comes to getting their shit done up, like half of that drug money is going to the barber, dog. I swear. they like that shit.
Boys looking like Neymar.
No, straight up, dude. And Neymar fucks. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Neymar is like, yeah, that guy besides maybe like Cristiano Ronaldo is maybe like the most famous dude in the world. Most famous Brazilian, but
yeah. Yeah, current. Yeah, playing, yeah.
Yeah. I wonder like who gets more clunge, like Neymar or Drake, you know? Neymar's definitely Drake's definitely fucking more, because he's a dog. That's the thing. But
I think you got to think of, like, is Drake being played in, like, Tajikistan?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Is Drake being played there, or is probably a soccer game being played there? Like, I've never been to Tajikistan. I'd love to know, though.
Mm. That's a good one, but I don't know. I think if we look towards that side of the world, I don't think either of the girls any kind of girl from that side of the world is going to be trying to sought after Drake or Neymar. I think that might get them in a little bit of trouble. Promiscuity towards a sexy footballer from Brazil.
Yeah, Tajikistan's isn't it a dictator nation?
Yeah, it's a Muslim dictator nation, I'm pretty sure.
Isn't it they have the most marble in a city in the world or something like that? So, am I thinking the right country? Is it Turkmenistan?
It's one of those Central Asian countries that's a stand. There's like Tajikistan and Turkmenistan and
Uzbekistan.
There's a couple of them. I know there's more than that. Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, but I think it's Tajikistan. I don't know. Where's your Jamie? Get Jamie on it.
Hey, somewhere, dude. But yeah, what were we saying? So where have you been, dude?
Yeah, so I went to Brazil and I got made up.
Robbed in Brazil, yeah.
By Neymar. And then I got robbed. And then I was like kind of over it. So I just ended up going home.
Where were you in Brazil?
I was in Rio for Carnival.
Oh shit, you were there for Carnival.
Yeah, dude.
Was it as wild as people say?
I don't know. I might just be getting old, dude. But it was like the day I got robbed, I went to my first bloco. And I was kind of there just like people were just like sweaty and rubbing shoulders. And I'm like, how do people do this for 2 weeks straight? Like, this is kind of ridiculous. Especially like when you get into a crowd. If people try to push by and it feels like a crowd surge and you're like, this is partying, like maybe I just wasn't buckled enough. I could have got more caipirinhas in me. But
how old are you now, Steel?
How old am I, dude? I feel ancient, but I'm 27.
Fair enough.
I don't know
if you're not the same at 21 that you're at 27.
Yeah, like, exactly. Well, like, I don't necessarily feel like at this stage in my life I'm like trying to fly halfway across the world to party. Like, the idea behind it was like, I'm gonna make good Carnival content. And there was definitely like a couple of people last year I was watching who was like making really good Carnival content, like my homie Timmy. And he would like make out with like six girls every video. And every video he made had like over 1 million views. And he definitely got a bag from going to Carnival. But then I got to realize, like, shit, I got no riz. Like, I got like negative riz. Like, you can't expect like it to go that well. And you're going to have like the finest like Brazilian chick in your thumbnail that's like clinging on to you. Like, maybe it was a little humbling, you know, like getting robbed is humbling too.
Yeah. How did the robbing happen? How did that happen?
Dude, it was weird. It was like a one moment. It was really busy in the streets and everyone was partying. And we were like at this one band, just listening to them. And they finished up. And like the second they finished up, it was like the streets were just kind of dead. Like, there's a couple like lurkers. I'm like, damn, this changed up pretty quick. And I was with a few people. And at that point, like, the buzz was starting to fade. And I was like, I was claiming. I'm like, dude, we're going to go to like 7 a.m. There was a party at 7 a.m. I wanted to go to. And I'm like, it never stops. Rio Carnival, baby. And then by like 2 a.m., I'm like, okay, I'm tapping out. So I told the homies I was leaving, and I was walking down the street through this park, and I was kind of looking for a good place to call an Uber, but some of the roads were closed off. So I was like, okay, I'm going to walk down the street where I get to a more main street. And then I noticed there was like people, but it was a lot of like riff-raffy people, homeless people sleeping on benches and whatnot. There was still people who were kind of leaving the party, but it wasn't crazy busy. And even at that point, I knew like, oh, I should take my precautions, but it just happened so quick that like I saw these guys just kind of like starting to walk towards me. I'm like, it could be a coincidence, but I also could be targeted right now. So I started to walk across the street, and like literally right when I was starting to walk across the street, like I had all my shit in my satchel, and they just grabbed the satchel from behind and they just completely like tore it off, right? Like, didn't even unbuckle it. Like, they ripped it off of me. And just like the second after that, I just looked behind and there's like four of them. They have my shit. And it was kind of like, we kind of came to an understanding that it's just like, she didn't try anything, kiddo. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. So like, what's that?
Was he a big guy?
It happened quick that I don't even know which one took it, because there was like a couple of them. I don't think he was that big. I think they're probably all pretty scrawny, but they're probably all packing something.
Yeah.
It was just like, I'm not going to try. I'm not going to go like pull Francis Ngannou on these dudes. Like, I wouldn't even advise like Francis Ngannou to go Francis Ngannou, like getting robbed in Brazil. Like, you know, like, even I think you got to remind yourself, like, even the toughest dudes like Francis Ngannou would be like, yeah, I don't think I should like square up against like four kids that potentially have knives. Like, definitely could knock them all out. But the second just like one clips me in a weird spot, then it's like, it's
all the old artery.
Exactly. The second one clips me with an artery, like, you could be the best fighter in the world, but like against four Brazilian dudes with knives, just like, it just takes one little vein.
They could also all know just jiu-jitsu and just like leg lock you and armbar you on both sides. Like, dude, all your limbs could literally be broken in one instance.
Yeah. Have you ever seen that meme? It's just like a jiu-jitsu dude getting robbed, and it's just like a burglar in someone's house, and the jiu-jitsu dude just is on the floor. Like, you know how like Charles Oliveira gets like, he'll get like tapped in the face and he'll go to his back. Like, I turned around, and the second I turned around, they're all on their backs, and I was like, shit, that's how I know I can't fuck with these
guys. Okay, boys.
I was like,
Osu.
Yeah. And so after that happened, I went back to where my friends were, and I also like, there was a group of police there, and like I was pretty surprised, like, because I know a decent amount of Spanish and I know a tad bit of Portuguese, but I was able to communicate to them, I was just robbed by those guys, can you help? And they're like, no, we can't. I'm like, cool, whatever. So I went and talked to my friends, because they were my lifeline at this point, and I'm like, okay, just wait here, I'm gonna go back and talk to the police. And then we got out translate, and basically they were saying that if I want my stuff, I can go to the police station and maybe they'll catch these kids. I took their translate and was like, what do you mean catch them? Like, you're the police, go catch them. And I gave it back to them, and like, they thought it was pretty funny actually. And like, they all had a good laugh about it. When the three male cops were like, okay, let's go. So I went with the three male cops, and like, I went, you know, like, obviously you want your shit, but even if it's like all your shit, it's like, you don't feel that proud, like just walking up with like a bunch of cops, like, hey, I got the cops. And like, you kind of feel like a total snitch, but
you don't feel like a fucking snitch.
It was a pretty necessary. So like, I went and they were like, was it these dudes? And there's like some dude sitting there, and I'm like, honestly, I don't know. So he like, the cops frisked them. It wasn't them. They looked around. I ended up finding my bag with nothing in it. So they definitely just split off. But it was pretty cool of the cops to actually care and like
to frisk some randos for you.
Because like, they don't have to do that. It's just like, they don't have to risk getting submitted, you know, like getting put in an iron bar. But they did. Which was like pretty cool.
Goats. They know how to transition.
Yeah, exactly. And so at that point, I kind of like capped out, and I was like, I came here to make content. My camera's gone. I don't have money. I'm not going to go through like going to like Western Union. And like, I was also just like burnt out coming here, and it's just been like a weird start to this trip. And so I just kind of like tapped out.
What'd they take?
They took my camera, which I'd filmed a video already in the favelas on, and it was like a really good video, I'd say. And they also took my wallet, and it was really stupid, dude. I don't know why I just didn't fucking upload the footage before I went out. I'm like, I'm going to a block party, I won't get robbed. And I got robbed.
What part of Rio was it?
It was a neighborhood called Lapa, which is right in like the center of like, I guess, the historical center, in pretty open daylight in like a plaza there. Like, the cops were only like 100 meters away, but I swear, like, dude, the bandits there are uncontrollable. There's just so many fucking riffraffy kids. It makes you appreciate, like, if the cops actually want to help out, it makes you appreciate them, you know?
Yeah, no, I feel you, dude. Like, funny enough, we were actually supposed to go to Brazil around this time, actually, like around Carnival, from kind of Carnival to like now time, or March, right? So we actually decided to get married instead.
Oh, that's a pretty good life goal. Nice.
Yeah, I mean, we potentially avoided getting robbed in Brazil to get married instead.
That sounds, in some circumstances, a little better. So you did get married, or are you going to get married?
Yeah, we're getting married in October of this year.
Is it a destination wedding?
No, well, you know what? Initially, it was going to be, and we just kind of wrestled with it, man. And it was like, do we go? Do we stay? And we ended up deciding to stay. Because I was like, if we go away, we have to do party after.
Yeah.
So, you know, costing out the party, we start seeing like, dude, it's going to be a bit of cash. So we're like, you know what? Let's just do it. And you know what, man? I never thought I'd be like really excited for my wedding, but like it's coming up and we're fucking pumped, dude.
The honeymoon's in Brazil, right?
It's actually probably going to be in Southeast Asia.
Oh, really?
I've never been.
You're gonna stay in hostels and hit the balloon?
You're gonna hit that Vietnamese beer street, baby. No,
oh, yeah. You going to Vietnam?
I don't know. We're gonna do somewhere in Southeast Asia. We're gonna find probably the cheapest entry point and then just kind of bumble around.
Are you if you went to Southeast Asia? Because you know how like everyone does the Ha Giang loop, right? Would you take an easy rider or are you gonna be totally red pilled and drive the fuck? Are you gonna be a man and drive the fucking bike yourself?
No, dude, I'm gonna get a Hummer.
Fuck yeah. But like
yellow Hummer H2.
I'll be honest, like, dude, I was like doing the Ha Giang loop and like most people are on bikes, but then I see like these people in this decked out Jeep and I was like, bro, I can't even talk shit. Like that looks fucking lit, yo. Like,
yeah, if I could get a Jeep, I'd probably do a Jeep, to be honest.
Yeah.
But the roads are pretty sketchy, like tight or would it be an advantage to have a bike over a car, you know?
I don't know, dog. I'm like pretty stupid when it comes to like operating motor vehicles. Like I've gotten pretty good at bikes and whatnot, but like I'm not like a physicist when it comes to roads and shape, but like I think you should do you. I definitely think they should start doing like a party bus on the Ha Giang loop, you know? Everyone takes these, they're on the back of someone's bike, which is cool, but like if you do that for like 8 hours a day, that probably like kind of gets sore in your groin area, where it's like you could just enjoy these views from like a double decker party bus, maybe with like a fucking jacuzzi.
Imagine the water.
Just breaking. Yeah, exactly. Make the whole upper deck like a jacuzzi and just like take those corners like really tight. like a wave pool, you know? Just people falling off the edge. That's what they say. It's like the most riskiest thing you can do in Southeast Asia. It's just like, well, we want to do the Ha Giang loop, but we hear it's scary. Watch out for the wave pool.
Let's go to the jacuzzi.
Dude, it's a fucking great business idea.
That's a $1,000 idea.
Yeah, I think I might do it if I'm not.
You should, man. Man, you know how all these YouTubers are doing like travel groups?
Yeah, I'm guilty of that, but I'm not doing it anymore.
No, but oh, you've done that?
I was honestly guilty of kind of launching one and then backing out.
It was taking all the money.
Mixture of I'm over this. I don't want to do this because it's like, how do I commit to something in like 8 months' time whenever I can't even commit to something within like a couple weeks? And then also just like, yeah, I'll be honest, like it was just like a lack of interest. Like I know there's people who have like 5,000 followers, maybe like 20,000 on TikTok, but like 5,000 IG followers who can still like run groups. Like they know how to run groups. And then there's me.
They're tour guides.
Kind of. But it's like not really. It's like you're signing up to go with that person on a group trip and you got everything arranged in a guide. Basically, you're just signing up because you look after that person and you want to go with them on a trip. You're basically there to host the people and have fun. You don't have to do anything like tour guide-y, like, you know? But I realized like, yes, followers does matter, but it's also, it's like, dude, I at the time had like maybe 80,000 and it was like I was having trouble getting people to sign up, to the point where I was like, I don't want to compromise my feed, which I take a lot of pride in the videos I make, to plug this group trip. Like I rather just stay authentic and have a cool feed than and do my own thing and just focus on the content than run a group trip. And I think that made me realize, like, yeah, at this point, like there's a bunch of things I could do to start making money, but I am pretty just like focused on the content.
I know you didn't go through with it, but I imagine it's like when you're kind of simulating the idea in your mind, you're like, what am I supposed to do? Like these people are signing up, but what do they even expect from me? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, am I supposed to be this person, this personality that they follow on Instagram or TikTok or whatever it may be? And now I have to be that person that like that dance monkey dance type thing. Like, you know what I mean? It's kind of weird.
Yeah. But also, there's that. You might have to kind of put on your little funny hat and like do your little dance. There's that. You might have to put on a facade. But there's also, it could also be like babysitting in a sense. Because you've got to think, people sign
You're up. Responsible.
Yeah, which kind of sucks. Where it's just like, you want to get tipsy and like encourage bad decision making and maybe have an orgy or something. But it's like, you have to be responsible.
Yeah, you do. Because like, also, anything bad happens, that's another commenter in your section, right?
You also probably have to sign some legal documents that, not just bad publicity, you probably could get fined if something bad happened, you know? But here's the thing, is it's like the majority of people who sign up for these group trips are signing up because it's like a good kind of gateway into travel and they're pretty like unexperienced. Like anyone who's like solo backpacked and like has done the whole whatever, like knows what they're doing. They don't need to spend a shit ton of money on a group trip. So you got to think the people who are doing this are, you're kind of bringing them into a world that they've never been exposed to before. And they're like fully rookies, you know, like you don't know what you're going to come across. Like they could be kind of crazy. Like from what I've seen, people who run them, they have a great time, but I mean, I don't get a glimpse into behind the scenes. I'm sure if you heard about behind the scenes, there's like crazy horror stories. Like you got to think, it's just like someone might just be coming on this trip because it's like, oh, I just broke up with my boyfriend and I'm miss him and they're like fucking,
I got drunk and then I
yeah, it's like I thought I could like just run away from my problems, but I couldn't. But like, I mean, there's probably way more examples than that of how it goes south, but you know what I mean.
The potential, the potential of it going very sideways is yeah, it's out there. So I'm not something glad you kind of didn't do that because I don't see it happening. But you did, last time we were speaking, you did say you were working for a poker company, mm-hmm. and you since left that and now you're self-employed.
Yeah, how's that going? I mean, the poker company was sick. Like it's crazy because I left like probably the best job I ever had. Like
fuck,
I got paid really, really good to basically make social media content. I was on freelance, so I didn't have a schedule. We never really talked about like my expectations, but I just tried to kind of put out like maybe like 4 or 5 pieces of content a week, which wasn't really hard. So like I was probably only working like 20-hour weeks and I could do it from any place in the world. And they treated me well, dude. They sent me to Halifax to the office like 2 times, paid for everything. And then they sent me to Vegas and they didn't even send me to Vegas from home. Like I was in the Philippines and they sent me to Vegas. Vegas is a toilet, right? But
yeah.
It's Vegas still like was cool because it was like, I don't know, it was like the only time in my life like where I was like put into like this kind of cool position of like someone who can meet people who are very rich and almost famous. Like I met and interviewed and sat down with like some of the biggest like poker players in the world, like if not like the biggest. Who? So I sat down for 20 minutes with Phil Hellmuth.
Nice.
I interviewed Daniel Negreanu, but it didn't work out well. What's that?
Canadian.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how many poker players you know. I interviewed Jungle.
I think I know a decent amount, yeah.
But the thing about the World Series of Poker is that it attracts a lot of celebrities because like a lot of celebrities like poker and celebrities like to gamble and throw their money around. So celebrities will play the main event like with no expectations to win. Like, yeah, they might make a cash, but just because it's like fucking going into the main event, spending 10 grand to go to the main event is nothing for me. So I interviewed Adam 22 and I interviewed Ryan Garcia as well. It was just quick, like kind of quick on the fly, but it was still cool. Like it made me feel like dope, you know?
Yeah. Any fun tidbits from those interviews?
Ryan Garcia was like super cocky and like was just like kind of like talking. Yeah, he's just talking himself up about how he's going to go all the way and shit. You can tell he's just kind of like putting on a facade and that's just him being like some
Ryan Garcia, the boxer, right?
He was the boxer. He's like, he was definitely just like coping from that Gervonta loss, which was probably like 3 weeks before that. And then the funny thing was about the Adam 22 interview was that was like right after, it was like right in the middle of like the peak of his like publicity over his girlfriend getting blasted.
Yeah. I came across that. Yeah, dude. Yeah. That's not a good look.
And I wanted to ask him about it, but we kept it poker related, you know.
So when the two guys were poking her,
Yeah, I was trying to think of innuendos, but I was just happy to sit there, you know. I did ask, yeah, you know, it was funny because it was like, that was like the peak of the Elon and Zuckerberg talk. So like, I was randomly just asking everyone like who they took, like Elon or Zucks. And like, yeah. I was like kind of team Zuck, but everyone I took was kind of like gearing towards Elon, which.
Well, I mean, if there's a weight class, it probably has to be a catch weight because Elon's a lot bigger than Zuck.
Mm-hmm.
But Zuck's got that training though.
Yeah, but also Zuck's already kind of like in shape, but like if Elon actually like kind of trained, he definitely could cut weight. I think there is definitely Elon could be built while Zuck is like tall and scrawny. I think they're probably match up around like maybe like lightweight. I don't even know.
I feel like Elon would like maybe like nerd rage. He'd be like,
just like
swinging.
Yeah, dude, you can just go full like what's he called? Like
when you're
like
swinging your arms. they like I would literally buy that pay-per-view.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Are you a big UFC guy?
Yeah, for sure. Well, do you want to hear something funny?
Yeah,
Will, this is related to Vegas. So, whenever I was in Vegas, UFC, I don't know the card number, but it was the one where Volk fought Rodriguez and last also, one? You know that one?
No, Volk just fought.
This was like last summer.
Not this last summer. Okay, last summer. Okay, yeah.
Volk fought Rodriguez and Brandon Moreno lost to Pantoja. Right?
Yeah.
And so, do you know Merab Dvalishvili?
No.
No, okay. He's like, I think, the number two contender in Bantamweight, right? So, yep. I was outside of the event. I was debating going to the event, but I'm like, I'm not going to go alone. So, I just like.
You should have, dude.
Yeah, I should have, but then I just didn't, right? I didn't want to go alone. I literally watched it on live stream, like down the street from when it was happening, but the event ended and I was like kind of bored, so I'm like, it wasn't my goal to like go walk around the place to like meet UFC fighters, but like I usually will just like go out, walk the street, see if anything is happening. And then I was just kind of in the area, so I'm just like, oh, let's just go outside the arena. And I saw Merab, and there's like these kids there like talking to him, and like they were saying like they thought he was someone else. It was so awkward, dude. Like I almost felt bad for him there. Like they thought he was this, you know, like Fazeev. He lost to like Dustin Gaethje.
Yeah.
So like they're like, you should have won that fight to Dustin Gaethje. And like I wasn't even saying anything. I'm like, dude, you're literally like thinking this guy is another guy. It was kind of embarrassing. So like I kind of wanted a low-key hint that I knew who he was, and I just saw he like posted something on Instagram where it was like hiking up some hill. And I'm just like, yo, Merab, I just saw this like video where he like almost died like running up some hill. And then he's just like, you almost died. He's like, fuck you need to lose weight. And I was like, whoa, chill out, like tiny boy, like where the fuck did that come from? Like this is like pissed off, like the number two bantamweight, and he told me like, he's like, you need to lose some weight. Like
did you almost rip his like bag on his chest and then just start jiu-jitsuing him? Like
I just right when he said that, I just went straight to the ground and like submitted
straight to the ground.
Position. I'm like, and I was just like, come get some, dog.
Dude, straight to the ground is the most deadly position to fight someone.
Exactly.
If somebody goes straight to the ground, I straight back away.
But yeah, he was pretty buckled at that point. Like he's pretty drunk, and like I forgive what he said, but it's just like, imagine like I have my what are the kids call it, like a canon moment, or like my Cinderella moment, where like after that day I just start like training, and like there's no way I would ever make bantamweight, but you know what I mean? No. It's like,
yeah,
this was a movie. If this was a movie, like I start training, like cut a bunch of weight, and like then I just like at the press conference, just like, do you remember that one time outside of USC like 292?
Dude, you're 27. It's not happening.
That's actually a pretty good point. I gotta remind myself. Yeah. Shit, these kids.
I know. Listen, there are later fighters like Ngannou. I know started later in his life. Like it happens.
Yeah, but Ngannou's a beast. He actually like genuinely had like some oppression story that probably like motivates him. Like,
yeah, dude, it's a crazy story. Next one coming up is 299. Chito Vera versus Sean O'Malley. Who do you think takes that?
I'm. I'm a Sugar Sean fan for sure. But it's a pretty good storyline. Like, I always think it's funny that like he kind of like blames the last loss on like hitting his perennial nerve. So just like, as long as Cheeto goes for his perennial nerve, like imagine like Cheeto's like actually been like training, like kicking exactly like someone's foot that's like the perennial nerve. So like, yeah. You got to think like going into that, do you think you're like scared at all? Like, imagine this absolute fluke accident happens again.
It's his only loss, right?
Mm-hmm. And imagine it happens twice in a row.
Cheeto's a dog, man. I don't know. I literally, it's for me. I know. I think O'Malley's a favorite because I think he probably has more name recognition in the market, in the betting market for sure. But you think Cheeto, man, Cheeto's a dog, man. Like,
did you know whenever they first fought, you know how like O'Malley does his hair up like pretty crazy, right? So Cheeto's from Ecuador. And the first time they fought, like O'Malley did his hair up like the Ecuadorian flag. I'm like, dude, that's gutty.
Why?
Like, just to like, it was like kind of an intimidation thing, like just to kind of be a bitch, you know? But, like, imagine like that's kind of rubbing like dirt in your wounds, like to lose, like to get absolutely dusted. It took it out on a stretcher while you're fucking repping the flag of your opponent on your dreadlocks. Like, maybe,
yeah,
I don't believe in karma, but like, I do see, like, I remember watching that. It was the first Sean O'Malley fight I watched live, and I was like, dude, like, this, I don't think that was a good play. Like, like before he even lost, like, they're announcing it about his hair, and I'm like, that's not a good play. Like, that's not a good look. Like, I don't believe in karma, but like, that would really set a fucking Ecuadorian like to kind of go sicko mode, you know? Like,
yeah.
I feel Cheeto could have just been fighting for the bag for his family, but like, when you bring politics into that, that's when like Cheeto goes full sicko mode, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. For me, like, I feel like both guys are kind of well implicated. They're both kind of like, I like both guys. I've seen both guys fight. Both guys go on podcasts that I really like Kill Tony. Sean O'Malley was there in the last, was it the last one at New Year's Eve? And then Cheeto does Matt and Shane's podcast, secret podcast. I'm conflicted, dude. I don't know who to pick.
Have you in your life like ever had any ambition to start training at all?
Oh, dude, yeah. I've trained for most of my life.
What have you trained in, the one where you just go straight to your back?
Yeah, so I actually did jiu-jitsu on and off for 10 years and actually got two knee surgeries in 2021. I got two meniscus surgeries in my knees because of jiu-jitsu
in MMA. It honestly just feels unfair because it's like you can get clipped, you could get like tagged super hard, on your way down onto your back, and then the guy just pounces on you, but you grabbing him a certain way and just fucking almost break his leg and he has to tap. Like, it's kind of crazy, to be honest.
In theory, listen, I've never done MMA, but I've done like gi and no gi. And like, when you do gi, you're used to like kind of grabbing the gi itself for control and stuff, right? And when you do no gi, you have to kind of do the same type of technique that you do in MMA. So you do kind of grab the neck or like grab the arm or the elbow. You know what I mean? So it's a lot more of a, it's a less tangible, it's less like structured thing that you're grabbing on, less anchored kind of grab, right? So that's, so it's, you do get tagged, right? And you go down and you're in the guard or whatever, that's fine. But if your opponent knows how to defend, they're sweaty, they're slippery, you're trying to grab at them, you're trying to grab an arm to, you know, arm bar or like, you know, a kimura, omoplata, like whatever you're trying to do, it's just when things are sweaty compared to like a gi, whereas like you're grabbing the arm over, like it's like grabbing this, right? You're like, if it's fabric, there's some grab, but if they're torso, like
I think if I were to do BJJ, I think like I've never really fucked with the gi, to be honest. Like,
well, that's how you start, dude.
There's full Sean Strickland pilled, whatever I think of my face, but it's just like, if you're thinking of like fighting someone, like we're going like dick to dick, like fucking head to head, like. It's sus as fuck, but it's like fucking man on man. Like, none of this fucking like uniform shit. Like, that's sports. Fighting is like, You're the expert here. You can tell me if I'm sounding fucking Boston. Boston.
I think any martial art is not necessarily fighting. It's a sport. Like Japanese jiu-jitsu might have been more like actually fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Brazilian jiu-jitsu is definitely more sport.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. Yeah, you're right. Maybe I'm just like too fucking
because I'm watching too much. But like think about it. Like in any fight, like dude, what are you gonna do with jiu-jitsu? Like jiu-jitsu is great if you fall to the ground. Mm-hmm. But like if you're standing up, what are you gonna gain?
Dude, Patty's got like a couple of those ones where like standing, like even front to front, like jumps on them, like completely, like yeah, like I don't even know what you call it, dude. I'm pretty dumb. But also like when Oliveira's submitted Poirier standing up.
Yeah, like a standing, like guillotine or something.
But you got to get to the back at that point. But I've seen Patty do it from the front.
Why don't you start training?
Just because of my lifestyle, dude. But I think I'm gonna.
Why not, dude? If you don't want to do gi, you go to any country, you can find
a place. No, so I've done boxing a little bit. Not a little bit, like one session. And I've done three sessions of Muay Thai. And I quite like both of them. I definitely really like striking. And I think, so like, if we're going to get into like long-term how I see my life playing out, it's like, I would really like this summer to like start living in the city, like living in Ottawa. So I think that then, maybe not like right in the summer, like if I went to Ottawa in the summer, dude, I really want to start skating again, like skating every day. But eventually, like whenever I get a place, get settled down, I'm definitely going to start training like 100%. Like it's been on my mind for the last like 3 or 4 years. So I definitely got to do it, but it's like, it's been hard with my lifestyle, but the overarching theme of everything is like I need to settle down and have a routine where I can go train, do all my work, go skate, hang out with friends, be stationary, and then like every once in a while go away and do my content and set up my life so I can live off my content.
And I'm sure being closer to the airport for you might be an advantage as well, right?
Yeah, and also like, dude, I barely even fly out of Ottawa anymore. I've been flying out of Toronto, but like I don't mind taking the train. Like it's kind of fun.
How far is it for you?
4 hours, I'd say. And then Montreal is 2 hours. So like, dude, I don't really mind it. It's kind of cool when you like land in Toronto and then you gotta like go through the city and then like take a train, and like it makes like your trip like super long, and like I don't know, just like it's like, okay, this is like, it's like you gotta pay to play, you know? You gotta make it worth it, you know? It's like I ain't sacrificing my shit to go live in Hollywood, you know? Like I like my roots. Like you gotta recognize where you're from. Like I like my humble beginnings. Like I know a lot of like people, like a lot of creators like to move to Dubai now because it's like right in the center of everything, which makes a lot of sense. Yeah. But like I really like where I'm from, at least now, at least maybe a year or so. Like I do want to live in Ottawa, get a place, and kind of just like figure it out where I can like go away for like 2 weeks at a time, shoot as much content as I can, come back, and then deal with that, have a structured life. Because what I was doing before was not sustainable, let me tell you.
Yeah, dude, if you're looking at it from like month to month or year to year, you're not going to sustain. Like you said, you were doing it in a way that wasn't sustainable. If you're looking at doing this for the long term,
mm-hmm.
you gotta look, say, hey, like when am I going to schedule breaks? When am I going to, you know what I mean? Like how much time should I be on the road? Like how much time should I be filming? Like how much time do I need recovery for? Like just, this is your exploratory time, right? You went really hard 1 year, go semi-hard for 1 year, see how that feels. Am I still kind of itching like, oh, I gotta get out there? Or is it more like the, you know what, like this is a good pace, and maybe just find a pace and then just kind of stick to it.
I've kind of had like the last year or even more of that to kind of like discover my pace. You know, it's not like I'm backpacking anymore. If you go like have a gap year and you go away for like 4 to 6 months, it's like that's your time. It's like your first time out in the world first time in your life. So you just kind of go crazy. You just send it. You fucking drink every night. You don't care that you're sleeping in dorms. You're banging in dorms and taking weird balloons and like getting funky. But it's just like, dude, I've been taking weird balloons for like 4 years now. No, I'm just kidding, but you know what I mean? It's just like
don't listen to this mom.
It's like the nostalgic has worn off, and it's just like I always love traveling, I always love the adventures I'm on, but it's just like now I kind of just want to go out and do my adventures and like have some normalcy. And I'm still gonna find a pace, but I definitely come to the conclusion that it's like, dude, I need a spot, you know? So I think I'm really gonna send this next one. I'm really gonna send one out somewhere in Asia, get a lot of footage, and hopefully that's enough to stay the whole summer in Ottawa just working on all that stuff.
Yeah, dude, because I never really thought about it till now, but like for you, especially in this moment, you know, you've recently declared yourself self-employed this, you know, the YouTube and the TikToks and all this. Work for you. I'm going to work is traveling. So you're teaming up what you love and what pays. Mm-hmm.
It is. But at the same time, it's like, I think, dude, like going out and filming something takes up like maybe like 5 to 10% of the actual work, you know? Yeah maybe I'm enough. On the road for maybe half the year, but I mean, I'm not filming the whole entire time. But it's just like, dude, actually going out and filming something for a day's worth or something is such a small fraction of like the actual work I have to do. And it's just like, okay, would you rather be, I would say like every day I film, I need like 4 or 5 other days to roll that out between editing for all platforms, posting, promoting, whatever it is, you know? So it's like, would I rather do this on the road from like some shitty hotel room with like shitty Wi-Fi, like being on your bed like this, like, or would I rather like be at home where it's like I could go train in the morning and then go post up at a coffee shop? And like, I don't know, I think mental health is really important too. Like, I actually do feel like someone could make better footage having like a well-balanced lifestyle, even if they're only traveling like 30% of the year, than someone who travels the whole year, you know? Because when you go away for that like 30%, like I want to be excited about things again, where it's like, that's what I was saying with Rio. It's like, I wasn't excited to go to Rio, but it's like, I want to be excited to do these things again and going on these adventures again. And if it's like, if that's all you do, then it's gonna lose its nostalgic value. And I don't want to sound like a total pretentious dick, just like, oh wow, your life sucks, you have to travel the world and make this shit. But it's just like, dude, fucking being, you know what, being at home, like having like a solid place to live, going to the gym every day, that you gotta take that shit for granted too, you know?
No man, I don't knock you at all. Like, there's parts of me at times of my life that wanted, you know, that experience. But there's negatives, like you said, like, you know what I mean? Like, someone who's a constant traveler, like you're away from your boys or your friends, you're living a normal, like you're saying, man, like a normal lifestyle of, you know, having a routine. What do we do on Fridays? Oh, we go here. You know what I mean? Like small town shit, like me and you are used to, like we don't, we're robbed. You're robbed from that.
Yeah. It's very hard to live a normal lifestyle on the road unless you're actually like going up and posting in one place, which like I've never really wanted to post up for a place for like too long. For a little bit, yes, but like for half a year at a time, like I don't think I can do that, you know? If I'm gonna post up somewhere, it's gonna be at home, you know.
Listen, man, I wanna learn a little bit. So we talked about kind of the here and now, you know, how you've kind of progressed from where you were from when we last talked, how the eyebrows have improved, all this. I wanna learn, you know, let's go back a little bit. Let's take a step, take a pause. Where did you grow up and what was that like? I wanna talk about some old time stories.
Oh, okay, yeah. So dude, I grew up in the sticks. I grew up in
Where?
Wait, I'm getting to that. It's called Renfrew, Ontario. It's like
Renfrew,
an hour west of Ottawa. It's an old industrial lumber town that about 8,000 people, but I'd say it's peaked already for sure. Like I think a lot of the industry has left and whatnot. And it honestly now kind of serves as like a suburb to a lot of people who work in the city. Like that's what my dad does. Like my dad commutes like 50 minutes into Kanata to go to work. It really doesn't feel like there's too much going on here. There's a lot of, so it's technically like in the Ottawa Valley, which is like the breadbasket of the area. So I grew up with a lot of farm kids. I also grew up with a lot of kids that like to hunt. They like to play hockey. And like, I kind of grew up like a valley boy, like playing hockey and shit. And then I got into things like snowboarding and skateboarding. And that's like when I started kind of going into the city and I realized like, I kind of fuck with the city more. You know what I realized the other day was I was like, I was like, damn, I was kind of like too country for the city kids, but I was also like too city for the country kids, you know?
You're fucking so, Yellow Wolf, dude.
Yeah. I was always having, wait, is that like a thing?
Yeah, I think one of his songs, he says that like,
I swear I didn't rip that. Like, and that just came off the,
I thought you were going verbatim. It was like literally the same thing. Like, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, like I did, like, I mean, I wasn't a fucking loser or anything, but it's just like, I definitely could say like, I grew up with like a little bit of an identity crisis because like, the person I was whenever I was around like the skater homies in the city, like I was just a fucking like kind of just a stoner, like kind of tried to like bring out my rebellious side. And then the way I was with like my friends in town, like I was kind of like more of a Chad, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Who cared about like social issues and shit. Now I'm just Seal, you know? But
yeah, you're just Seal, man. You're posted up on the rock. I'm a Seal.
I was definitely going through it because like I remember I would hang out with like my skater friends, like they're pretty ruthless, and like I would say something like that, like maybe like my Valley friends would say, and they'd just be like, "What the fuck are you saying?" Like they would actually roast me. Like I was like, "Oh shit, I thought that was cool. I thought that was funny."
Dude, I'm gonna tell you a little bit about how I kind of got to where I'm at now, and then I want to kind of talk back to like I want you to tell me a story from your fucking childhood. I want to hear some stories because for me, I think small towns is where it's at, because in the city sometimes you go to cities and it's like it's kind of the same. You know what I mean? You go to a city in different countries, like, oh, well, it's kind of a city.
So, yeah. How big was the town you were growing up?
Well, you know what? I grew up a little bit everywhere.
Yeah.
My dad was a cop, so we moved from like Quebec to Nunavut. We lived in Iqaluit. We lived in Yellowknife in the Northwest Territories.
Dude, you know what? I mean, this is a little bit off topic, but I actually really would like to go to Iqaluit one day.
Dude, you should.
Do you have any snacks there?
Dude, we were there from 95 to 98, so it was...
That's a minute ago.
Little bit. Listen, I can...
Tell me about growing up there.
Well, dude, like...
Would you eat whale blubber?
People did. And, like, people would literally shoot a whale, like, haul it over onto land, and then start cutting it up and start eating whale blubber, like, just off the whale.
Yeah. So, like, okay, a lot of the content I like to do is, like, because I genuinely get, like, culture shock, right? Like...
Yes.
Like, whoa, I'd never fucking find this shit in Canada. And for the most part, like if you're thinking of like Canada, I mean, I think almost everything that isn't the territories, I don't think I would find that. But then you do look up like somewhere like Iqaluit, where I'm like, wow, this actually doesn't feel like Canada. Like this is actually like a whole nother world.
Yeah.
And that would definitely be the only Canada content I would do, because like the way of life.
It's actually insane, man. Like
that's awesome.
Like I was a kid, man. So like for me, I didn't know the difference, but like we had to leave after 6 months. Every 6 months we had to leave, because one, you're dealing with like the same thing that they would deal like in Finland, like the almost 24 hours of sunlight, 24 hours of darkness in the winter. Like it's tough. I was just a kid, so I didn't understand that. But like, you know, one time we landed in Montreal from Iqaluit, and my mom said that I said, oh my God, there's trees here. And she was like, holy shit, man, we got to get the fuck out of here. Cause it's a tundra, right? Like it's just literally rock and it's just cold as hell. And like for us, normal times would be like, I don't know, you go hunting for your meat before winter hits, load up your freezer as much as you can with as much caribou as you can, and kind of live off that during the winter.
From an outsider, I'm like, damn, that's crazy. But like living it, because like what's the grocery store called there, like Northmart? It's just like if you don't have the like,
Northern Store,
whatever. Yeah, Northern Store. It's just like if you're making like minimum wage, like you can't live off that shit. Like you probably have to go like maybe freeze some caribou meat or something. Like I guess maybe they're subsidized.
Sometimes what happens too is the icebreaker gets stuck and then your load of food doesn't get there.
Oh, that's a good point. It's all by port. Yeah. They don't fly anything in there?
They do, but it's an island, right? So you have to bring some stuff in.
Holy shit, that's a really good point. And it's like they're literally breaking ice to get there. What do you think? What percent of the population leaves during those those like winter months?
Well, I would say that it's just like during the winter months, but like maybe after the winter months, like there is a huge like suicide rate. Like
that's what I was going to ask. It's just like, do you really feel like the effects of the isolation, the cabin fever, and it's like so much worse in the winter? Because at least in the summer, you get like what? You get like fucking 24 hours of sunlight then, right?
Yeah. Yeah. To be honest, in Iqaluit, I was too young to really have an opinion on it, but this is kind of what my parents were saying. But it was quite rough. Like alcohol abuse was a thing there. Like it was like you did have like kids, you'd have kids playing out. Like my dad was a police officer, so you got to kind of hear the behind the scenes. But like the like some kids would be like playing out at night at like midnight, and then typically it was to wait for their parents to kind of fall asleep because mm-hmm. they'd like beat them. Mm-hmm. So you did have like a lot of that type of stuff. You know, we were like a visible minority there. Mm-hmm. For me as a kid, it didn't like kick in. Like it wasn't like we're a minority here. It just was normal.
Yeah.
But it's we kind of went from there to Yellowknife, and Yellowknife's kind of a huge upgrade. 20,000 people, you know what I mean? It's huge. It has a McDonald's. Oh my God. And Yellowknife, I'd say, is kind of like a normal small city in any kind of place. It obviously gets the cold and the same type of climate, you know, the yeah. northern lights, that type of thing.
But they got mountains there though.
No.
On Yellowknife?
No, not really. No, the Rockies kind of go more west.
Okay, yeah, I'm blowing it. But I get what you mean. You probably still got the same problems there in a sense.
Yeah, and anyway, so we move there to go to back to New Brunswick. Family's from New Brunswick, and we ended up, so I left grade 8 going from Fredericton, the capital, to a small town called Grand Falls. Left grade 8 going into grade 9 into a place where I knew nobody.
Shit, that sucks.
It's like the biggest, like, what the fuck? And I showed up there and I was like, man, like we're kind of downgrading because we went from like the capital to kind of a small place like you. Like it was Grand Falls, like 5,000 people. Mm-hmm. And dude, I showed up there and it was like Grand Falls is literally just farmers. There's just that's literally what it is. It's farmers for McCain's and farmers for McDonald's. Like that's literally potato, like it's fries, potatoes. That's what they're mm-hmm. producing. And initially I was like, dude,
did you ever pack lip in class?
I packed lip, but not in class.
The only time I ever packed lip was in class. Dude, you know what's funny is I remember like I was like such a mooch as a kid. Like I was like, if anyone had like a drink, I'm like, I'm gonna take that shit. And like I thought like my homie had like a bottle iced tea next to him.
Oh no.
I didn't end up drinking it, but I was close, dude. Like I almost like snagged the homie's iced tea, but it was just the residue, you know? So that's what they do to give people context is whenever you pack a fat lick of chewing tobacco, you have your water bottle beside you and you're just constantly spitting it, and it turns into this like brown like color that's like
bitter
clear, and it looks like kind of similar to an iced tea, you know? And if you're spitting if you spit it to like into like a Nest tea bottle, then just looks like you're drinking iced tea. And I think that's what they would do. They would make sure they have an iced tea bottle to make sure it looks like it's a fucking iced tea beside them, you know? The teacher turns their back towards the board, and that's when you start like spitting your shit.
Like, wow, your drink is going negatively upwards. Like,
yeah, exactly.
There's more liquid. What?
You can't keep tabs on that shit. Like, it's a pretty good system, to be honest.
Did you guys used to do like pranks and stuff? And because I mean, I kind of told you my kind of where I started to where I ended, and I just know that there's some shit that happens in small towns that doesn't happen in bigger like in cities and stuff like that. Is there any pranks or anything like that you guys used to do?
I can think of small ones, but I remember this one time. My brother's like maybe like 3 years older than me, and I think it was like April 1st, like April Fool's Day. And you remember those like stink bombs?
Yeah. Oh fuck, dude. Yeah.
He brought like a bunch of them to school and was like setting them off in the yard, and he got in some trouble. So he was like, okay, I'm not gonna set them off anymore. But what he did was he went to throw them in the garbage. I don't know. He must have did it intentionally, but said it was an accident. So he like set them off in the bin. So they popped in the bin and they actually fucked up the whole school. I think I was on the other wing and I didn't get it way far, but I could smell it when I went out there. But literally three floors got fucked up because of that.
Stink bombs are deadly, dude.
They're
like, it sounds like funny, but it's like, dude, this is going to fuck shit up. Like, it's going to smell like eggs for a while.
Yeah, man. This other one time in school, I remember, I think it was also April Fool's Day. And I went with my homie and we oh, this was funny. We made these posters about a talent show and the winner would win $100 if they won the talent show. And we, dude, it was actually a stealth operation. So I don't know if it was because of my mom worked at the school, but somehow we got into the school beforehand, but she wouldn't have known about it. And we fully went stealth operation and we put all these posters up around school, got out, didn't say a peep. And we just watched this manifest as people came in and looked at these posters and we're like, oh my God,
I have talent.
But dude, you know what's funny is this shit actually happened. They're like, well, you proposed the talent show, so we're actually gonna do one. And no one won $100, and then some people did some pretty shitty acts. But it was funny because since it was my idea, I had to do an introduction for the talent show. And one of my things was I was gonna do a pop shove it on a skateboard, and it went really south and I fell, but and the board flung out towards the kindergartners and almost killed them, but it looked very intentional. That's the thing. It's the way I fell, it's I did it, landed, and then just shot it out, fell back. We played it off it was intentional. And it looked fully on purpose. And I was damn, that's that. I was embarrassed, but I'm shit, I just made it work somehow.
That's funny. Man, there's one time, and it's funny because in small towns, people who live in cities might not get this, but when you're in a small town, you literally have nothing else to do. That's where your creative side comes out because you're we need to figure something out, man. Because literally some people, what they would do is just literally park by the road and just wait and just see cars drive by. That's literally what people do. Yeah. But there's this one time, what we did is we used to kind of terrorize the McDonald's a little bit.
Hell yeah.
Shout out to the Grand Falls McDonald's. Super sorry, you guys. I think we made up with the amount of food we bought, so I apologize. But one time what we did is we taped a sign to the drive-thru saying drive-thru, the speaker is broken, you must yell your order. And then signed it management, and then put a little McDonald's logo at the bottom.
That's good.
Okay. So we just literally what we did is we just backed up the car and just watched the drive-thru.
Oh, man.
And just put put a camcorder. That's how old this, how long ago holy this was. Shit. Put a camcorder and just hear people yeah, I want a Big Mac. You could just hear them fucking yelling their orders. Anyway, so eventually we went inside to see, and there's a lady working there. She's like, I don't know what the fuck's going on tonight, but people are crazy.
Jesus Christ. Sorry, I was like, dude, nowadays that shit would fucking go off on TikTok.
Yeah, dude. Free idea.
Those were the days of camcorders and showing your friends your home videos and shit.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Listen, we grew up in a different time. We probably have a few people on TikTok mm-hmm. following us. But
this one time, during peak COVID, so I was probably 24, right? Me and my homie were bored out of our minds. We're just driving around town, throughout high school and then into COVID. We're in a small town, we just drive. To random places.
Yeah.
But we drove past the Home Hardware and we noticed the sign there was we were thinking of ideas we could switch it around to, and I forget what it was.
Letters?
Yeah, the letters. So we drove right up to it probably at midnight or even later, and we just started doing it, and this cop pulled up right on us, and my homie started to run, and I'm like dude, I'm here with my car. It's we're caught. Even if we, that's even worse if we ran. Our car is there. Just fucking face it. And then they were pretty chill about it, to be honest. They're just don't do that. But also we get it. It's a pretty boring time.
Yeah, like there's nothing to do in towns, man. Like another time, I guess we used to fucking, another McDonald's story is that I did it, but friends of mine would steal the trays from McDonald's, like a bunch of them. Just go in, just take a bunch of the fucking trays and leave. What we would do is we would go to a parking lot, put the trays underneath the rear tires of like a front wheel drive car, and then just fucking floor it. Okay. And what that does is it makes your car like fucking drift.
That's sick.
You just like floor it and then just like turn the wheel and just like spin.
Holy shit.
You go for a bit and then you take the tray off and the tray would like literally have gone through like because of the pavement. Like it's like fucking big holes in the middle of it. But anyways, shit like that. And the last one I'll give you here is one Halloween. You know, we were like, I don't know, maybe grade 10. And we're like, you know what? We're going to egg some kids. And I'm like, I think back to it now. I'm like, I don't know why we did this. Like, such a dick move. Like, we're a bunch of douchebags. But anyways, so we were like by the high school and there was a bunch of people. It was like a hot spot for trick-or-treating.
Oh, yeah.
And anyway, so we find this group of kids that were, and they weren't kids, they were like, these group of guys that were trick-or-treating. They're like, you know, we're gonna like egg little kids, we're gonna egg like our age kids, you know what I mean, like grade 10. So we found these people that were about the same size as us, and we're like, you know what, fuck it, let's egg them. So we're a group of, I don't know, four or five guys, grab our eggs, and we start walking towards them. They're back to us, and we're like, fuck it, we're gonna egg them. And we go to egg them, and anyways, one of my buddies was like really good. He's like a really fucking good thrower. So he just like he like threw two, like bang bang. And by the time he threw like two, I was like laughing so hard that like I threw, but it wasn't even close to them. Like my accuracy was completely off. But anyway, so they start running after us. We split up and like they got tagged probably like four or five times. But anyways, we split up, but we kind of went to the woods, and that area was kind of an open area. So there was like a baseball field, there was a soccer field. So you can kind of see like around there. And we could see those guys like leaving, like stopping to chase us and like walking towards like houses from where we could see. So we could see them because they were taking their cell phones and they were like flashing at us like, hey, look at us. And we're like, haha, this is funny. So most of us kind of like went like, this is probably a bad idea, and left. One of the guys decided to say, the guy who like smoked him a few times with eggs, and he had a couple of eggs on him. And anyways, we just see them like outside one of the driveways of the house. They're on the phone and like two cars of guys show up.
Jesus.
And once they were at the house, we knew who they were.
So wait, were they older than you at this point? Like, were you just kids and they're older kids?
So when they were at the house, we knew like that house, it was like older guys. Mm. And they would have been like grade 12 to us. So we were grade 10, they were grade 12 or grade 11 or whatever. You should have did
it to some like third graders or some shit. That would have been a lot more funny.
We didn't want to go for the easy targets. We wanted to
you're feeling a little edgy.
Yeah, it's because this is a small town. You have nothing to do. So so we see these two cars load up because we were like, so they had one guy that was by the fence, which was like just across from their house. And we were kind of in the back. We're like, fuck that. Like, we want to get out of here. Anyways, we start running, dude. And we go back to the guy's house. And we're just like, oh man, like, where's the other guy? The other guy, he must have stayed there. Like, oh shit. Like, dude, I hope he didn't get beat up. Because like, and it was, we were French guys. And they were the English guys, and they were there's a bit of a rivalry, hockey, you know what I mean, stuff like that. And dude, they were like coming in with two cars full of guys ready to kick some ass from getting egg. So we're like, oh shit, man, like, he's probably in trouble, man, like, fuck, like, shit, like, you know what I mean, we kind of feel bad, like, we kind of abandoned our boy. We didn't know he was staying there, but he just like stayed there. We're like, what the fuck, where'd he go? Anyways, a few hours later, he comes back and he's like, boys, he's like, I fucking stayed in the bushes. And he's like, their car was running around the high school parking lot, like looking for us. And he's like, I just fucking egged them. He had like a bunch of eggs. And he's just like decked their car so many times, it just left.
Jesus Christ.
Anyways, like 4 or 5 years later, I was actually talking to a buddy about this earlier this night. Shout out to Max. What's up, boy? And he was like, you know what, man? I actually told the English boys that it was us that night.
Oh, they didn't know it was Elf.
they didn't know it was us, dude. But
and then what they think? Was it funny to them?
Yeah, it was like 4 or 5 years later. So like, yeah, whatever. Whatever. Like, you know what I mean? But it's just like those small town things that you just do. It's stupid to think now, but it's just like,
oh, yeah.
There's nothing else to do.
I remember this this one time, it was like one of the first times I smoked weed. Actually, I wouldn't say it was in the first time I smoked weed. Like, I probably smoked weed maybe like 10 times before this, but like every time I was smoking weed, I would start.
Did you say, are you saying that you smoked weed before it was legal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Am I allowed to? I'm proud of it too. And I was a minor. And yeah. But like, dude, for some reason, every time I started to smoke weed, I would like just have like a really bad trip. It almost like was like really, I don't even want to know how to describe it. But anyways, like we were at the Renfrew Fair. I was probably in grade 10 and I got completely like blitzed, right? And so like we go into the fair and everything's like strobe lighty. And I'm like, this is not good. This is not going okay. Oh. Like the closest thing you could have to having hallucinations like while smoking weed, I'm like, I'm not okay, man. And like I tell my buddy like Kevin, I'm like, dude, I'm not okay. So he's like, fuck. Like everyone else like gets to go and ride rides, or like Kevin is like, hey, I'll just take care of him. And like, dude, we can go. And like
he's like babysitting.
Oh no, for sure. Yeah. And so we go and like we go to get food, I guess, to sober me up. And like I give him my card. And he gets us like so much food, like large drink, like burgers, fries for both of us, other shit. And he uses my card and pays for it. And I was just like, dude, Kevin, you're so nice for buying me food. Like, thank you so much for buying me food. And then, dude, I swear I ate like one fry and maybe like one bite of my burger. But I was like still just like so happy, you know? And then I'm still tripping balls. So like the fair's kind of winding down. And so for some reason, my homie, it's fine if I name it. I'll just say the homie, you know, he goes back to the high school we were at, right? Because he left his bag there. And we have to take this trail from the fairgrounds to the high school. And there's always like cops like patrolling the trail because like there's bad apples at fair. And one of them follows us to the high school. And my homie's like gone to get his bag. And then we see this cop. And like Kevin was like to me, he's like, Nolan, you got to go. Like he's like, you got to run. Like we'll deal with this shit. Like you got to go. And to this day, like I swear I didn't do it. Like I definitely ran, but he claims like I ran away like screaming at the top of my lungs. Like I was so scared.
What a homie. Yeah.
But dude, I ran home and shit, but like I was so shook that I was like cutting through people's lawns and like taking back streets, like thinking the cop would have been like, we got a runner. Like
we've got him.
Yeah, but it's like, and then like sent like the whole fucking force out to get me in every part of town. And like, dude, I was like stealthily like just moving through like people's backyards to get home. And then like, dude, for the next week, like at school, like I was tripping because like sometimes they tell your school and they'd like call you to the office and get suspended. Now I would own that shit. I've been like, yeah, I smoke weed. Like, what about it? Like my parents probably knew, but like, I don't know. I was like actually like losing my mind the next couple weeks. I thought I was going to be cooked.
That's fucking hilarious. And it's when you said you're running through the different like backyards and shit, like that's how we were running away from after we egged that dude. Like we were
oh
fuck. We're the baddest asses in the world. Oh my God.
You learn these little like shortcuts like throughout your town as a kid, you know, like, you know, all of them, like all these little like routes and passageways and whose town, whose backyard like just opens into a bush. And like, it's pretty funny. And then like I had to utilize all that knowledge when I got older, you know, because I thought I was going to get arrested for smoking pot.
We're good now.
We're all good now, but I was doing that whenever it was a federal offense.
Yeah, but yeah, man, listen, man, I think let's call this one. I think this was a fucking good one. I had a fucking good time, to be honest.
Of course, it's always good to reminisce. I actually came into this not sure like if I had stories, but then like once you get the ball rolling, you realize you got a lot of stories.
Exactly, dude. That's what I was like. Like I remembered like two of these, and I was like, ah, like, you know what I mean? Like the kind of, I forgot about the egg one, and I was like, fuck, like, that was fucking like, that was probably one of the more intense ones of high school. I was like, oh shit, mm-hmm. Like we're gonna get fucking beat up by the English guys.
Mm-hmm. I definitely think I peaked after high school, but like it kind of like makes me think like, oh, high school wasn't that bad. You know,
high school was cool as hell, man.
Yeah, I was kind of a dweeb in high school, you know, like there's a lot of people who peaked in high school, but like I still haven't peaked, dog.
Yeah, dude, excited to see that. Speaking of that, what are you doing next?
Like I was saying, like, okay, I'm trying to like go to a big trip in Asia. I'd like to go back to Pakistan and make a bunch of content there, and like maybe China, maybe other places. I don't want to say too much, but I'd like to just do that so I can get a lot of content for the summertime so I can stay here. But
hell yeah.
I do, before I go, I've been trying to make this course, right? I want to make like an ultimate how to solo backpack course or how to solo travel, budget solo travel course. So I've been actually making this course up, and I'm going to shoot it with my sister because she like does professional shooting and whatnot. So I'm going to do that in like 2.5 weeks in Toronto, where she's right. at. So I was thinking like killing time this next 2 weeks and going to Guatemala. Like I might actually like book a flight, like just like a last minute flight, like someday soon, go to Guatemala and just like chill out, write this, all these scripts, make all this content. And yeah, that's kind of the plan for the next little while. But my plans always change. That's the thing. It's like, I'm always saying one thing. It's like, dude, I never planned this Guatemala thing, but I'm like, I might have to kill 2 weeks. May as well go to Guatemala, but who knows?
Hell yeah, dude. Remind the people where they can find you.
Seal on Tour on YouTube and TikTok. And then Instagram is Ya Boy Seal.
Ya Boy. Let's go. Buddy, thanks for coming.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Two Beers Till Takeoff. Do you want free additional content or just to stay connected with the show? Then give us a follow on our social media platform. That means TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, all of them. Are you in need of podcast production services, video editing, or anything in between? Then look no further than Strut Sound Productions, the official producer of the Two Beers Till Takeoff podcast. Music produced by Alex Gagne. Check out his work in our show notes. Voiceover done by Viking Leo K. See you next week on Two Beers Till Takeoff.